Welcome. You are listening to Living, Loving and Learning, the blog and podcast on SolomonArrow.com.
Apart from mankind, nothing else was made in the image and likeness of God. This image and likeness is the defining distinction between mankind and all other created living things, spiritual or physical. Hello, my name is Solomon Arrow. Of course, I'm delighted to have you listening in. Today, I am speaking on the topic, the creation of mankind, male and female, part 1. Once again, I am sharing a chapter from one of my upcoming books titled, Husband is Not Master, Help Meet is Not Subordinate, The Marriage Relationship as God Intended It, Manhood, Womanhood, and Male Headship in the Marriage Relationship. Quite a title. I have split this podcast into two parts, where we would be taking a deeper look into the making of man from another perspective, and a bit repetitively to bring some clarity and understanding to the narrative. God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all of the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them, and called them mankind in the day they were created. When God created the living and non-living things, he created them in a manner in which he was somewhat personally detached. He brought them into existence by pronouncing the decree, "Let there be," which is always and without exception concluded with, "And it was so." Each step then was followed by a report of an assessment of what he had accomplished, and God saw that it was good. In the making of mankind, there is a marked divergence in the process. There is a deeper engagement. The deliberation is intense. God seems to become intimately involved in a manner he never was earlier. He beckons upon the entire Godhead, "Let us make man." It was like a moment all of divinity had been waiting for. The making of mankind, as God designed it to be, demanded an approach that was beyond the pronouncement of decrees. The essence of God's very being will be involved and invested in this particular act of creation. Mankind is a product of deliberate and intricate, intelligent design, imbued with God's very own image and likeness. He made mankind just a shade lower than himself. This makes man's true identity and essence to be found in God alone. "What is man, that thou dost take thought of him, and the son of man, that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him a little lower than God, and dost crown him with glory and majesty." God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." The Bible uses the word man in two fundamental ways. Generically, to mean man as both male and female, and specifically, to refer to only the male as distinct from the female. There has been the dual sexuality of mankind right from the onset. Mankind is male and female. In the creation narrative in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, animal sexuality is never referred to directly. It does not merit the dignity given to the sexuality of mankind. There is dignity in human sexuality. It is an aberration for men to reduce themselves to dogs, throwing caution to the wind sexually and caving in to cravings with statements like, "Body no be rude." This is out of sync with the divine plan and purpose. God did not create the man and then the woman afterwards. On the contrary, He made them male and female the same day. He blessed them, and on the same day He called them man or mankind. Man, the Hebrew word is Adam, and throughout scripture it is used in a generic sense referring to man as male and female. There are places where the word man is used to refer specifically to the male. Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words explains it thus. The noun Adam is related to the verb Adam, to be red, and therefore probably relates to the original ruddiness of human skin. The noun connotes man as the creature created in God's image, the crown of all creation. In its first appearance, Adam is used for mankind or generic man. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." God did not create the male on the sixth day, concluding the entire creation process, declaring it to be very good, before He went on to create the woman as an afterthought. No, the omniscient God could not be delayed in thinking or that confused. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Genesis 1:26-28 gives us the picture without ambiguity. God created man, male and female. He created them. God blessed them. Male and female were both created in God's image. The command, or the blessing God gave man to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue and have dominion over it, was not to the man as the male alone, but to man as male and female. It was after the accomplishment of all of this that He now says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 31, "And God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good." So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Everything He made, from the first day to the sixth day, including the creation of man as male and female, and the crafting of their physical bodies, were very good. They were excellent, and they met His desire, plan, and purpose. He was pleased with everything He had done. Apart from mankind, nothing else was made in the image and likeness of God. This image and likeness is the defining distinction between mankind and all other created living things. spiritual or physical. None of them carries the imago Dei. Man is not an animal. His identity is found in God, not in animals or plants. God created man as a spirit being with a soul. He bore the reflection of God's character in goodness, righteousness, and true holiness. He carries the capacity for rationality, creativity, the possession of moral consciousness, and relationships beyond the capacity of animals, which do not have the imago Dei. The imago Dei is what factors the vertical relationship between God and mankind. And this is the most important relationship man would have. The next most important relationship is the horizontal relationship between mankind and mankind. Hence, the first and great commandment and the second like it address these two relationships, which Jesus calls the commandment upon which all the law and the prophets hang. Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The first mention concerning the making of man is in Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Let me begin with a breakdown of the text. Genesis 1, 26 starts with a divine proclamation for the commencement of making man. And God said, "Let us make man." And they are to be made in our image, after our likeness. The image of God is invested in the dual sexuality of man, male and female. He created them. Declared upon the male and female is a divine benediction, and God blessed them. Male and female are equal in creation. They are also equal in divine responsibility to manage the creation through dominion given to them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion." It is important to note here that God did not by this authorize man to have dominion over man. He did not authorize the male to have dominion over the woman and subjugate her. It is man as male and female that is to have dominion over the created order. This blessing authorizes the male and female without distinction to carry out the undertaking to rule the creation God placed under them. He does not authorize the male separately from the female or vice versa. In this regard, therefore, male and female bear divine glory equally, none independent of the other. Friend, I believe this podcast has blessed you. I look toward sharing the second part with you. Till then, do not forget to keep living, loving, and learning.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Solomon Arrow is an author, pastor, teacher, and speaker whose passion it is to help people become what God desires them to be and through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, fulfill His plan and purpose for their lives. You can contact Solomon through his website, www.solomonarrow.com.